audio intros. I can only add video intros. All right. We are live. All right, Scott. Woo! As usual, I'm going to test something else out. So, you know, let me know.
Always exciting.
Let me know if you can hear anything or if it's really loud or you can kind of hear it.
Hello? 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 Hello?
If you can hear this, it's not too late. I return to warn you. This is Time Pop, a podcast that discusses time travel in pop culture. There are spoilers. I've seen the future, and nothing is sacred to these folks. Your past, present, and future are sure to be ruined. Even if you could go back in time, as I have, you will never forget what you are about to hear. You've been warned. This is Time Pop.
This is the I don't hear anything face.
That is so stupid. I don't know how... I don't understand how I can get the mic in there, and then I've got the other thing plugged into the exact same thing, and no noise. So anyways, that was our intro.
Hey. Time Pop.
Welcome, Chrononauts, as we guide you through the experience of time travel using pop culture as our Ramon. We will be your constants. I am Dez.
I'm Scott.
This is
Time Live.
Scott.
Yes.
Did you get my intro?
No. I'm sure it was great, though.
I've been watching way too much Seinfeld. And her husband is on an episode of Seinfeld. I don't know if you remember the one where Jerry pisses off the pool boy because the pool boy like wants to be his best friend. And Jerry's like, I'm good. I don't need any more friends. And then Ramon steals all the towel, doesn't give Jerry any towels at the club and all that stuff. So anyways.
I am not the guy that has the Seinfeld episodes memorized. I always have all these friends always like, yeah, you know, the one where he drops the turd on the clown. And I'm like, that didn't stay. Now you want to talk about 90210 episodes. I'm your guy.
No, but I will talk about another sitcom later. Cause there's another sitcom reference in this.
Oh, wow. All right. Let's do it. Wait, are we in a time travel podcast?
Yeah, I don't know, Scott. You tell them all about it.
Hey, we do a podcast. We talk about time travel films. It's funny. It's informative. And we learn about the fabric of space and time. Join us, won't you, on a journey. That's it. That's my pitch. Who's in? This week, my friends, we're doing a new film. A new film that might be in theaters, but is available for streamings.
Yes, this one came out of nowhere. Like, usually, you know, we're kind of in the know. We kind of know what's going on, or like, you know, if it's going to be on Prime or something, I kind of start to see that, you know, something's coming up. And this one just... Sorry, I'm trying to see if we're actually live.
Oh, well,
I don't know.
It does say live. And it says 333.
Yeah, whatever. Hopefully we're out there for you to find us if you would like to find us. Or maybe you're listening to us then, which is not now, which was before.
So deep. That's what's okay. So amazing. Yeah.
All right. Hopefully. Taking me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So we watched Omniloop from this year of our Lord, 2024, written and directed by Bernardo Brito.
Hey.
Starring Mary Louise Parker, awesome.
Yeah.
Ayo Edebiri. Sorry if I'm mispronouncing your name. I've seen
you probably
seen you in a couple of things. You're awesome. Carlos Jacot, aka Ramon, and some other people.
Other people. I'm in.
Scott, you know, yeah. You know, we're not in a big rush today, but we got to move things along.
Okay,
so
respect.
In the vein of moving things along, Let me just say, fuck this movie.
Whoa! Wow! Folks, this season, we've got an all new Desmond. Old Desmond would be like, Meatballs Part 2, A+. Summer School, A+. Gymkhana, A+. Now, he's got a discerning palate. He's like, if it's not freaking Brokeback Mountain, I don't want to talk about it.
This movie is great. I actually enjoyed this movie. But the reason why I say fuck this movie is because 8 years ago, this movie would have done nothing for me. I'm a father. I'm a loving husband of 18 years. We just had our 18th anniversary.
Wow. Congrats, man.
Jeez. And
not easy, folks.
It's not easy, you know. I give all credit goes to my wife for making me talk. It's the talking. You got to talk, folks. You got to get in there. You got to work it out. You got to use your voice. You got to talk about what's going on. And Kelly does not allow elephants in the room.
Yeah. We're going to do another podcast on relationship, folks. So check it out. We're going to call it Old Man Advice. Because the world just needs more advice from old white men. That's what the world needs right now.
we have all the answers. No, we don't, folks. No, we don't listen to old white men. There's too many of us.
That's our podcast. It's going to be called Don't Listen to White Men. And we just give out advice. But like, you're not supposed to listen to it. Like, no one needs. We'll call it Mansplaining 101. That's a side note.
every time someone logs on, we just berate them for listening to us.
They ask a question, but we talk like we know more than them. Like, what do you think I should do? That's great.
It's going to be called Elephant in the Room Mansplaining.
Yeah. Mansplaining done right. Anyway, okay, good. So you're an opened up, softer, in touch with your feelings, and then this movie got you a little bit. I am mixed about the film. Overall, I'm going to say it's a well-done film. As a time travel enthusiast, I am not super excited about it. There's some things that I thought would go to more places that didn't. I did shed a tear or two at the end. It did get me. So
yeah.
Emotionally, yeah. But it's not going to rate high for me as like time travel enthusiasm. More like a film about relationships, what's important, acceptance of mortality, things like that. No, bitch. Yeah. Also a little bit of life paths, a little bit of feminism, there's some stuff going on.
There's a lot going on. It does touch on at least one thing that I was glad it touched on. Of course, it didn't go very deep because, like you said, like the time travel. It's just one of those things where someone wanted to really make you think. And they're like, how can we really hammer this home? And so they chose this time travel gimmick, if you will, to just really hammer home that you got to be in the now. You got to enjoy things while they're happening. You got to appreciate the journey. Would you really? And it really does bring that question, like, of course, there's a ton of things we would love to go back and change. But like, as we've learned over these podcast episodes, like the butterfly effect is real, folks. And you don't know if ordering the cheesecake over the carrot cake is going to alter all of your experiences and not bring you to where you are now with the loved ones you so adore and adore you back.
Yeah. So get the carrot cake.
Just always get the cheesecake. That's a really good sum up though.
That's a solid sum up, man. We got to discuss the ethics of time travel in this, and you guys should be aware if you're going to venture into time travel, these are some of the consequences that could happen.
Yes. Don't fuck with time.
Don't fuck with time. We all want to. We want to go back and we want to tell that bully to eat our socks. But then you do that, and it sets off this chain reaction, and then your best friend will die. So it's, accept your things and make tomorrow a better place. And that's one to grow on from mansplaining.
Just before we get too far away from it, we're not actually here in the movie, but I just, again, the woman who plays Paula in this show, I just wanted to give her a big shout out. Have you seen Bottoms?
Yes.
By any chance, she's in Bottoms.
Yep. And she's, the bear.
She's April and the bear. And the she's bear. April. Scott's a
no,
bear.
Just stop with the bear. The bear is the shit. No time travel, though.
The bear is one of those. I'm kind of on the fence with all the dramedies right now. I get it.
Well,
you
worked in the kitchen, man. You should love the chaos of that film. You get it.
I do. I absolutely get it. And it's one of those shows where I watched five episodes. I'm like, this is amazing. But there's something about the dramedies that really don't draw me back and be, because I'm either okay, let's watch a drama and go all out like the old man, or let's watch a comedy and just laugh and not think too hard. And the bear catches me in the middle and I'm like, oh, I was just laughing and now I'm crying. And now you're going to try to make me laugh again. Like, I don't know.
You're like, which one is it? Pick a side. No, are you fucking comedy?
What are you? I mean, what? Yeah. It's kind of like us. Like, are we talking about jism? Are we talking about old white men? Are we talking about time travel?
You never know.
Time pop.
We're a big grab bag.
The dramedy cast of time pop.
Yeah.
So this is another one. Again, I talked about this last week, and we're still we're in this, heyday of time travel movies. And so this movie just starts out fuckers, we're time traveling. Like you've seen Groundhog Day. You're about ready to celebrate Back to the Future Day because it's the greatest holiday ever. Just get on board.
Just get on board.
What? That kind of drives me crazy about these movies is how long it takes people to break a... Like, she's doing this routine, it looks like, for a long time.
Yes. Any loop film, they examine it different ways, right? There is some way that looping a certain time over is kind of like a hell. To have to repeat something constantly and never progress forward, there's no way to die even, is like, it's an eternal hell. Then there are ways where they explore the nuances, there's ways they make it out. This movie really showed her frustration, her I can't keep doing this. She didn't really try to change it for a while. That's maybe your point of she's just going through it. All these movies were they don't realize they time travel forever or they keep doing the loop. I don't get it. If I was her after five times, I'd be doing some crazy different shit.
And she knows that if she had just found the pills the week that this movie takes place, then I would see why her hesitance to break from the routine, but she's been using these pills her whole life.
Yeah. That was a weird learn in this. They just drop it casually. That she'd been doing it forever. Oh, but now she's just trapped in the loop by circumstance. Cause she doesn't want to die. Right. If we could do this in a quick sentence, the plot, I think
do you want to hear, do you want to hear IMDb?
Yeah, please. They'll do a better job than us.
No, they won't.
Okay.
A woman from Miami, Florida.
Miami, Florida. That's not the important part, though. Uh-oh. You're back. Wait. Do it again.
All right, I'm going to do it again.
This is live, folks. Anything could happen. I might drop an F-bomb. You don't know. Desmond might be frozen up. I might fart on camera. This is live. This is very exciting. All right.
A woman from Miami, Florida decides to solve time travel in order to go back and be the person she always intended to.
Oh. I mean, that's not wrong.
It's not wrong.
But so we start, she's waking up in a hospital. You're finding out it's a very unexplained. She's got like a gray hole in her body.
A black hole. And the doctors are like...
But they're so matter of fact. You think they'd be studying like, no, this is weird. She's got a black hole inside of her. Like, that's already... Yeah, anyway. And she's got like a week to live. She's kind of like with her family. She's got loved ones, but she's just like catatonic. At the end of the day, her nose starts bleeding. She's about to die. And she takes a pill and goes back to the same week. She goes back 1 week. You start seeing her frustration that she's been doing this a lot and she can't do it anymore.
Yeah. Boredom more than frustration. Because she's not trying to solve anything. When we meet her, she's just enjoying the exact same week over and over and over and over again to spend more time with her family. Right. And it's...
And we get that she's not a scientist. She's a physicist.
Yeah. And she's not breaking from the routine at all. Like, you'd think at some point she'd be like, I'm not going to go visit my mom, or maybe I'll take a ham sandwich when I visit my mom this time instead of eating the same fucking orange.
Right? Don't eat the orange. Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah. And then, we learned pretty quickly she has a conversation with someone and she just tells them everything because she knows they won't remember. And so she can't double up. She can't take two pills and go back 2 weeks. She can't even take a pill in the middle of a cycle. Like, whenever she takes her pill, she can't, another pill won't do anything until that pill wears off for all intents and purposes.
Yeah.
So, and again, she's had a lot of practice with this. She got through school with these pills. She realized she couldn't save her father with these pills. She knows how these pills work, and she's just living in her own hell.
And we didn't find out the information Desmond's giving us. We did not find out till later in the film. Like, it's pretty.
She finally gets frustrated enough to stand up, from a conversation 5 seconds earlier than she usually stands up from the conversation, and she bumps into Paula, and all the books go flying, and she's got a bunch of quantum physics books, and she realizes that this is a kindred spirit of another nerd, just like she was when she was young and full of pip and vigor and was gonna save the world. So she finds someone who she's able to, you know, get over the hump of like, so I got these time travel. Oh, and Ant-Man exists in this world.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They just casually explain in this world, a guy that figured out the miniaturization process. I have questions for you, by the way. There is one, usually there's a thing you don't get, I help you out, and there's a thing that I'm not getting in this. We'll get to that in a little bit. Remind me of that. But yes, there's an Ant-Man in this world.
You hear it in the back. At some point in the background, you hear a news reel about a rhino that I thought was going to come to something. Like I don't get the rhino story. You can help me with the rhino story.
No, I don't think I can.
I'll help you with Ant-Man. And then also in the background, you hear like, there's shrunk a guy, blah, 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 blah. So, but they can't, and I don't even think we hear this. We find, so, all right. So her and Paula get to know each other, and now she's still dealing with the loop. So now she's got to go through the most frustrating thing that I could ever imagine living in a loop, is re-meeting someone, re-getting them on your side. We see a montage at the beginning where she's meeting Paula, and who knows how many times this goes by, but she's like, hey, you're this person, I'm this person, you're holding up two fingers, you're holding up three fingers, you're holding up your middle finger, now your cat's gonna meow, blah blah blah. And assuming she has to go through this every week, she's got to go back and get to know Paula. Anyways, so she is an intern at the local community, MIT, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Working on these pills to try to figure it out. She wants to solve time by figuring out these pills, which she has spent her lifetime trying to solve. And hopefully figure out how to go back farther and be the person she always wants to be. We find out that, you know, of course, she was supposed to be this amazing physicist and she had all this, you know, hope and everyone was behind her. And then, you know, she fell in love and had a child and then had a wonderful life, home life, but never became the amazing physicist that she thinks she was maybe supposed to be.
Good job.
I don't know where I was going with that.
No, we're filling in the character stuff.
I was hoping that this, that talking with you was going to make me like this movie more, but it's really it's going there.
Okay. Going yeah. That's fine. Hey, we're exploring this together. She ends up finding this woman who goes to the school in one of her new journeys and has to, like, yeah, like Desmond said, to fill her in. She doesn't believe her. So she does the finger stuff and proves she has to have the conversation a bunch of times to prove that she knows her. Then she believes her, and then they work on it together. She gets her, she gets Paula inspired, and they spend time working on solutions to controlling time travel so they both can go back and fix things. It's one of those things that because she's looping, it's on our protagonist to like write.
Does she have a magic notebook?
That's a loophole, right? Because all the work is in the notebook. The only solution to this, the notebook increases with their work as the film progresses, but the notebook changes each time. So she can't fill in the notebook and it goes with her, which means every time she jumps back, she's got to write it down with the new info. Although that means in the last one, she has to fill a full notebook just full of memory. It's a loophole. We found one.
I think part of it too, I think 90% of the research is done by Ant-Man.
Is that consistent because it's in like a quantum realm?
I think so. I think every time they go back and drop the pill, and so Ant-Man is so small, he's basically able to go inside this pill and see its structures. And time works differently there. So he might be doing 10 years worth of research in 4 minutes. So that's usually where the research starts, is let's steal Ant-Man, let's drop the pill. Because Paula, of course, has been hanging out with Ant-Man because she's a nerd and she doesn't have friends. And so Ant-Man has become her buddy. And they can communicate. And time works differently there. So he's able to do a decade's worth of research in minutes. And I think that's how they're able, like the notebook and stuff kind of makes sense because he's doing a huge, like, yes, they bring the information out and do some of their own math, but I think since it's always he always recreates the same research every week, it's a shortcut. I don't know.
We're making excuses. it's an issue, maybe, but whatever.
And anyway, this whole time, so now she's like, she wakes up every week, she runs away from her family.
She's ditching her family.
Her family spends all week just texting her and emailing her and voicemailing her. Just be like, oh my God, you're just fucking left. But she's going to solve time. And so none of this matters. And then this is where I was glad they didn't go deep on it, but they at least touched on the question I always have. What happens to, like, are there 10 million universes where she just vanished and her family goes ahead?
Didn't they bring that up in the film at some point? Like, what they happens did. When you go? Yeah. You just picture all these people that are like,
she went into the bathroom and fucking vanished.
Yeah.
But they do show a little bit of like, yes, she abandoned these people, but then it also seems to say that she's kind of holding the universe hostage until she moves on. So they're kind of like in a limbo. So these timelines aren't moving forward with her just gone, but they're also, the universe also isn't moving forward.
Either she's using the universe forward or there's all these timelines that she's just kind of fucking with people. It's interesting. I'm going to get into my ethics. Like, I'm the most ethical guy, but like, we go to these loop films, and in these loop films, they start being like, nothing I do matters. And ethically, like, fuck it, I can do whatever I want because it doesn't matter when time's going to loop. And it's interesting how, like, in this, like, people don't matter, right? She's just annoyed by her family. Like, but you don't know. It could. You could be fucking up all these people and all these realities. So yeah, at this point, she's ditching her family. She's just working on curing time travel. There's an Ant-Man guy. You start learning more about her life. You see an old professor who is like, oh, you had such potential, but you didn't work hard on shit. You learn that she kind of gave it all up for the family, essentially. Now, here's what I have a question for you. So they bring, she had a co-worker that was very supportive that she was very close with, right? Mark is his name, I think, or Harrison.
This is our other sitcom. Everyone out there, this is Tag. His name was Tag in Friends. He dated Rachel for a while. He was Rachel's assistant, and they dated
okay.
for a while. So, yeah, Tag from Friends.
But he's Ramon. Mark. He's Mark in this, or Harrison or something?
Yeah, Mark.
Yeah. So, they show in the film, at some point, they're not going anywhere with their... Oh, yeah. They're not going anywhere with, like, trying to figure out time, how to travel more in time. And then eventually they talked to this one professor, but he's a big jerk off. Then they said, you got to talk to Mark. And it seems like she's been pushing that off.
Mark was her. Oh, go ahead.
Well, this is maybe what you can explain to me. They show a scene where she decides to visit him and he's at a party. And it seems like he's a little bit patronizing, like that she didn't move on. But he's actually kind of being nice. He's like, you look good. I knew you'd be a great mother. And then there's a scene where she's visiting his son and he's died. Was the scene where she visited him a flashback?
He wasn't dead.
The scene with the son?
Yeah.
The son is like, no, the son's like, he's not here anymore. And like, that guy he was abandoned, never here.
He just kind of abandoned because he's such a like work first. And I think he's living in Europe all the time. And this is all the research he left at his home in the States.
Isn't he also the miniaturized guy, though?
I don't think so. Because they definitely would have addressed that more if he was nanoscopic man.
They were talking like he was dead.
No,
she literally just visited the dude like a day before.
Right.
It was very confusing. Anyway, in the film, she visits the guy. So that was present day that she visited him.
Yes.
And had this like meaningless conversation.
So this is the guy that we see her with in her college days, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they were, you know, supposed to fall in love and solve all of quantum mechanics. And instead he went to Europe and became a physicist and she went home and became a mother. And so, yeah, Paula finally gets her to go talk to him because they apparently had done some research. It's weird because he's like, if they're going to do research, then he must know about the pills. But
he knew that she was working on it sounds like she was working on some impossible time travel stuff back in the day. And she just gave up on it. And he kind of judges her for it, but kind of doesn't. I guess that scene, the point was that maybe she regretted that with him. But then she has a short conversation and he's kind of a little bit of a jerkwad. And she's like, eh, I didn't miss much.
I think at some point they break up. He continues the time research in his basement and keeps working on that on his own. And then just finally gives up and goes and does whatever he's been doing for the last 20 years. And then that's what we find when she visits his home. We see the son, whose name is Adam. Get it, everybody? Adam is just like, my dad was never here. He was always down here working on this stuff. And that's again, where she starts to realize that she made the right choice because, no, she didn't solve time travel, but she also didn't abandon her children.
Right.
So I don't even.
All right. Well, it's all right.
Love, I mean, people, we're taking the plot. You want to solve time travel? It's love.
Love. This is not the first film to show that love is the major force in the universe. Something changes in her and she's been working on the project so much. She actually hasn't seen her family and she misses them. She even gets a phone call from like her family breaking down. She's heartbreaking. So then she does one more. Oh, she kind of clears everything up. She has one more round where like she like loves her family. She meets with Paula again and like gives her the pills and be like, this was your project. You do something great. And she accepts dying eventually. Now there is a subplot of this story that we need to discuss. She mentions the pills some randomly in the film, like not a big deal, but she's had them. It's one jar. So she said the pills are regenerative, so that we are, because it does explain that, like, you've been using these pills your whole life, but when you have a limited supply. So it's a magical jar.
Well,
that
no,
regenerates
because
pills.
No, because she takes a pill and then goes back in time. So if you have 10 pills.
Oh.
And geez. Then a week later, you take one and then immediately go back in time. You're back to your 10 jars of pills.
Oh, wow. All right. Good. Wow. I'm losing it. Good on you.
Yeah. Okay. Fine, so, Scott, you got to think.
She does talk about the
being
like
fourth dimensionally.
The properties are regenerative. In the beginning, Jack, how'd you get the pills? Oh, I don't know. They just found them one day. And then I heard a voice saying something. And of course, Desmond in my brain is like, oh, older her is going to bring it back to her. I see. It's one of those like contain loop films. However, when she ended up giving the pills to Paula, I was sure that maybe Paula is the one who solves the issues with time travel. And then Paula is the one that brings it back to her. Anyway, that is not the case. We do find at the end, after she dies, somehow they say she sees all time and space, and future her does bring the pills back. And like, she wants to embrace the kid, but she just says something like, you're going to do great things one day. And she whispers it in the little, her younger self, a little girl's ear. And in whispering that she's not really there. So the girl, she'd always said as a little girl, she thought she heard a voice whispering that. And so we find out it was her, older her, in like a ghost-like kind of state, not ghost-like enough that she couldn't bring the pills, but ghost-like enough that she didn't see her actual older self. And Desmond, I was just saying, Desmond took a quick
No, seat. I heard it. I had the speaker.
Okay.
I had the speakers
cool.
on.
So yeah, I thought they were going to go. I thought when she gave it to Paula, Paula was going to solve it and then bring it back to the girl.
Of course.
But that's not what happened.
The fact that this movie didn't end with a montage of Paula growing old and solving this and then going back to, because Paula would have realized, if I don't take these pills back,
yes,
I'll never meet her and none of this will happen. So I've got to restart the loop. How yeah. that just proves that this was not written by a time travel guy. This was written by a Hallmark director.
Yeah. And to their credit, it made us cry. So big ups on you, Hallmark. But yeah.
I mean, this movie almost should have been like a magical Groundhog Day where her nose starts bleeding. She goes into the bathroom. She cries in the bathtub. And then she wakes up a week later. This doesn't make sense that she's always had the pills. Who cares that she used the pills to get straight A's or to try to save her father? Or like, they don't, like, they almost should have, like,
it's not time travel. It's not time travel first. This is relationship first. We're looking for the time travel. They were like, it's like a subtext. It's like it's just a way to show an emotion I'm trying to get off. It's fine. It's just, we're looking for the time travel. That's obviously where we're coming from. We're time travel nerds.
Because she should have come to this realization earlier when she kept, when 15 years earlier, she kept taking the pill because her daughter got in a bike accident. And she really didn't want her daughter to get in a bike accident. She kept going back, and no matter how many times she went back, somehow her daughter still ended up in the hospital. Yeah. And that's how she realized that we are the bumps and bruises that we take through life. Like, how she used these pills her whole life, and then at the very end,
as a consequence, she's not really present through life. Like, you don't take it as seriously. You're bored with it. It makes her not the you don't get to love like normal humans because you just try to fix things and you're over it.
Yeah. How is her husband like, how is this not like, you know, where her husband just realizes like, oh, we don't have a perfect relationship. You were just going back in time and fixing things all the time. Or like, and again, how does she not wake up one week and go, I got 1 week to live. We're taking a cruise. I got 1 week to live. We're going to Lollapalooza. I got 1 week. How is she just, and again, if this is the first time, like, she should have found the pills in the hospital. Like, she should have, like, had a breakdown in the hospital and ran away because she was sad and depressed. And she wound up in some back closet and these magic pills fell off the top shelf.
Yeah.
Again, stupid, but it makes more sense than her having a lifetime. Again, solving time is not easy, but you do have an entire lifetime to figure out that these pills are not the key to happiness.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, she's just now at this point, she's refusing to accept her mortality. So it's accepting death as a part of things, you know, accepting life. There's just so much left on the table here. The relationship with Paula, like, it's almost meaningful and they almost get close at one point, but then it never fully gets it. And even at the end, she gives the pills to Paula, but we don't see that. It's about Paula and she changes the future. They just leave that dangling. Paula just says she'd sign with her past. She does one story about her dad. And later on, she's like, I know you can't change about your parents. Like, that wasn't really discussed. I guess she gets her and that's not fully necessary. So that's left on the field a little bit. This miniaturized guy, that's like, he's trapped in that zone and no one uses him. He's just by himself in this quantum realm forever. Like, that's, if that was Mark, it would be another example of like being married to your job means you can't see your family again. And he's like in his own hell. And that's like another version of her. And they could have really like used the relationship of that, but they don't. He's just like this guy that helps them. And then just like, he's just stuck there. And no one's using him, right? They talk about this miniaturization process, but he's in this like hidden in this thing where no one's even communicating with him.
And they put him, they literally put him in a drawer.
Yeah.
And are just like, and he's continuing to shrink. The problem is the shrink ray works. Now they can't make him big again. And not only that, but he's constantly getting smaller and smaller. And eventually he'll just turn into cosmic dust.
That's also like an eternity of hell. So yeah, they're really focused. We get the stuff with her. We get the stuff with her dad. I think we believe the love for her daughter and husband after she kind of doesn't for a good portion of the film. So again, I think you agree with me. It is not a bad film. It's maybe a good film if you look at it the right way. It's just from the time travel. This is one of those where time travel is not the focus. In fact, it's like an excuse for a metaphor. It's an excuse to like show how you should accept mortality. And it's an instrument to help get to that.
And of course, her husband is the one at the end. You know, they're talking at the, like when she finally accepts it, she gives the pills away. She finally opens her birthday present. So every week she blows out her candles, her nose starts bleeding. She runs to the bathroom and takes a pill. She finally sticks around to open her birthday present. And it's a sonogram of her grandchild.
Oh yeah. She never opened it the whole rest of all those times. She never actually got to opening it.
Yeah.
And they're going to name it after her. I think that's when I cried maybe.
Yeah.
With a pregnant and they named after her. I think
I was already like, once I realized where this movie was going, I was just like, I just, all the surprise was taken out of it. So that's what kept me from crying was just like, oh, I get it. Because, so of course, so then, you know, she doesn't have the pills. She opens up her present. She's laying in bed with her husband. They start talking about it. She starts talking to her husband about what would you change. And of course, he's the one that says, I wouldn't change anything because I don't know what stupid decision I would make that wouldn't lead me here.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh. And then, I mean, they almost make it like,
that's exactly what happened.
They almost make it look like, for a minute, I was thinking that her acceptance and realization was going to allow her to live. Like the black, because it's a black hole. I mean, it's not like she has cancer that is like.
So we should talk about that. So I thought that was going to be more significant also, right? That there's a black hole in her. I'm assuming this is a reaction, the time travel aspect has caused this illness, right? The fact that she's been doing this, there's a consequence. But they don't go into that, or the fact the doctors are so like, yeah, you have a black hole. No one has a black, they even show it. It's fucking like magical. It is a growing black. No one, she would have been examined and studied. It's a whole thing. And anyway, I thought that would have been significant to the time travel or consequence. They just leave it on the field a little bit.
Scott.
Yeah.
The black hole is her inability to accept the realities of her decision. It's a metaphorical black hole of
in her heart, where she has to learn to love again.
Because they even show the black hole like growing at one point.
Yeah, it's like sci-fi meets Hallmark special. It's different. It's different than most sci-fi. There's like relationship sci-fis. There's loop ones. We get the acceptance. This one was a much more emotional take of it. But that's how we feel, folks.
Yeah. Let's see how other people feel about this movie.
Okay.
Let's see. I haven't looked at this at all. So I don't know what the ups and downs are.
I haven't looked at you at all.
Have you seen what my ups and downs are?
Yeah.
Wow.
Now this is new, so I wouldn't expect too many reviews, but
yeah, it got a high critic rating. It's got an 83% critic rating. There are not enough views. There are not enough audience reviews for them to aggregate an audience score yet. Let's see. I'll read a couple of bad reviews, and then we'll get to what people loved about this movie. Your typical Groundhog Day style film that starts off good but becomes redundant. This one didn't have much of an ending either. Thank you, Lomax. This movie is full of wasted time fillers. This is like a short story that was overly extended to be a novel, a short film that was overextended to be a feature film. So many boring parts. Mary Louise Parker acts like a loser nobody would care about instead of a brilliant scientist. A brilliant scientist wouldn't behave like fumbling fool like she does. If you're in the face of your own mortality, how do you know how you would feel? Vip. 1 star. Good concept, had potential, but just a terrible script. Has a Groundhog Day vibe, but just wasn't pulled off. And the music during the show, is so depressing and makes the show slow and sleepy.
Aww.
This poor guy is going to be disappointed when episode 2 doesn't drop in a week. All right, let's see what people loved about this. Let's find a 5-star. 5-star. This movie takes you through a life of a wonderful woman, mom, wife, and friend who just wants her days to be longer in an attempt to go back further than she ever could. She fights. There's no, by the way, no periods, no commas, no anything. So pardon me if I pass out from not being able to breathe. Go back further than she ever could. She fights and works on everything she could, and she finally came to the conclusion that there is no going back or going further, and she spends her last moments with family and friends saying her last goodbyes. In the end, she realizes that she did live the life that she could ever dream of and was ready to go. It was an absolutely beautiful movie, and it gives you better perspective of life, family, and hope. If you're reading, I say watch it. One movie I will never regret watching. Not a piece of punk. There's one capital letter to start that paragraph and one period at the end.
That's how we like it.
What is this? It doesn't explain what the fuck is going on, and it's just stupid. I don't think it's that bad. Because like Scott said, it's a wonderfully made movie. Like, we don't get a lot of, you know, decently budgeted time travel films. And, you know, for that, it's always fun to watch. Mary Louise, is it Louis or Louise? Do I pronounce that? She's awesome. You know, but yeah.
What time is it?
I hate hating this movie, but I just, you know, it's time pop. It's not Hallmark pop.
It's funny that you said you are getting softer, but you're also not.
yeah, it definitely, like, again, as a movie, this hit my heart. It filled my black hole, if you will.
Gross.
But, oh my God, I don't know. I want to give it a decent rating because it's a good, fun watch, but I want to, like, this is where we need the Barry rating so we can be like, it was an 8 as a movie, it was a 2 as a time travel, so average those scores out and figure it out. Oh,
let's see. If I look, I can times. Wait, no.
It's down at the bottom of Time Pop recorded.
Okay, great. There it is. Oh, there we go. Good. Now I can play the game. I don't remember anything about 57 seconds.
that was the ring one. Didn't he have a ring? That would
from. I think I like that better.
Yeah.
All right. I got it. I'm going 445 for this one. So better than Manadu, but not as good at 57 seconds. I think that's good.
I mean, I don't even know. I mean, my science project was a better time travel movie.
Oh, my God. I gave my science project 230.
So this is the new Somewhere in Time.
Okay. Wow. I mean, Somewhere in Time was rough. But yes, I see what you're saying. Absolutely.
I gave that a 245. You gave Somewhere in Time a 330.
All right. I'm going 445 for this one. I'd rather watch this than Somewhere in Time.
Yeah.
I don't want to sit through either of these again, but I could do this again. I can't do Somewhere in Time again.
Oh, this is way better than Manadu.
Yeah.
I mean, Manadu, I think Manadu was better.
Oh.
Again, Manadu was...
It's more time travel-y.
It had some... I only gave... Boy, I was mad when I did... I gave Manadu a 420. Wow. Okay.
We can always adjust down the road.
4 o'clock.
Wow, look at... Is that 2 weeks in a row that Desmond's doing less than me? All right, I'll do 410.
Whoa! Okay.
You're right, man. I just shoot better.
Are you seeing the your ratings pop up in real time?
Yeah.
Can you see them pop up? Look at that time travel. Everything's happening now. Scott's going forward in time and seeing. Yeah.
All right. I like this pattern that you're starting to go lower than me. This is
the universe.
The universe is changing, my friends. Anything's possible.
We're gonna have some fun this month, you guys. We're gonna I say we do a couple of horror movies because they've kind of been piling up. Like the horror time travel is not nothing. So I think between horror and we're still figuring out exactly what we're gonna do for Back to the Future Day. But please
keep
an eye out, and we'll try to do a real time. We might go to the theater and watch Back to the Future movie. I might.
They're re-releasing Back to the Future 2 for the 35th anniversary. Yeah,
I might strap Scott to a chair and make him watch the cartoon Clockwork Orange style. 10 years ago, I had the most amazing 25th anniversary for Back to the Future 2. So I'd like to keep that tradition going. Hopefully, we can figure something out. But we gotta keep it tight. Hope you guys enjoyed. I saw one person pop in and watch. I don't know. I was hoping they'd throw in a question or call us dorks or whatever. But thank you for the one person who popped in live. And hope to see you guys later on in real time. Until next time, I'm Desmond McNeese.
I'm Scott Lipton. We'll see you again in a time in between the now and the then. Oh, here comes our soundtrack. It's like a 1920s vaudeville show all of a sudden.
When Cormac bought his trombone, I decided to buy myself an instrument.
That's fair.
All right. Friend. Have a good day. We'll talk.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.